job. I like that shirt, Tim. Yeah, okay. Mine needs bigger arms. Yeah, got a Karen permit. All right. Hey, y'all help me remember, because I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. A young lady's going to join the church after the service today, Lisa Wilson. Don't come up now. We'll get you, Lisa. Man, I missed you guys. I was ready to get back. We're still on in Daniel. We're going to be in Daniel a little while longer, and if you don't get out your outlines, we're talking about how when God tests us with success. You know, we talk a lot about being tested with failures and when we fall, but God also tests us with success. And a couple weeks ago, we started. I heard Demetrius did a wonderful job last week. I heard he did. We talked about what gets us into trouble when we've experienced success and when things are going good. And what gets us into trouble is what we discover. We get comfortable and complacent with success. When things are going good, we get kind of comfortable, don't we? And then we don't pay attention to the warning signs. There's always warning signs right around us. We don't pay attention to them. And then the third thing we learned from Nebuchadnezzar is we put off doing what we know is right. We procrastinate. And when things are going good and kind of things are floating around. All right. So now we're going to look at when we do fail the test, if we fail the test, some steps to recover. And so let's look at Nebuchadnezzar real quick. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 4, but I've written on your outlines, if you have one, most of the verses that we're going to use, is that his power's been taken from him. And, because he's walking around saying, look what I've done by my power and, you know, and all this stuff. And about that time, God just, boom, his power was taken from him. His kingdom was taken from him. He was living like an animal. The Bible says for like 7 seasons. So I'm not sure how long different scholars say different things, but we know it was more than just 2 months that he had lost his sanity. And he was living like this animal, just crawling around and drooling, basically. It was publicly embarrassing. It was humiliating him. I mean, we're talking about a man that was the most powerful man on the planet this time, and here he is now out of touch with reality. And so it was humiliating. And so my question this morning is to ask you guys this. Have you ever seen or had a friend when and they all of a sudden to decide to do, you know, what God don't want him or her to do? Y'all ever had a friend to do that? Just decide to go completely against God's will to do something self-destructive? I mean, people come across my desk all the time and I'm like, you're going to leave your wife and kids for her? Have you lost your mind? Or I'll look, you know, and she'll tell you, you're going to break up this marriage to leave with this guy? You're going to throw it all away? And I just want to say, you've lost your mind. But guess what? People do it all the time. They do it all the time. This self-destructive behavior. And you know what it is? They're running from God. Every time. They're running from God. And I see it time after time when they do this, their life collapses. Now, his way was in a very public and humiliating way. A lot of times it happens in hours. Even this day, we see it all the time. But, and I like when there's a but, God has mercy on Nebuchadnezzar. He has mercy on Nebuchadnezzar. And after this period of time, he restored his sanity, or he restored his mind. And I want you to see the steps that Nebuchadnezzar took back to sanity, this road back to recovery, because it can happen. It can happen. He did 3 things. And so when you have a major failure in your life, you need to do these 3 things. And they're going to be simple. You're going to say, that's just too simple. Well, It's not too simple. The ones that thinks it's too simple, you're just one of those overthinkers. Here it is. He looked up, he woke up, and he spoke up. This will work. Let's look at the steps to recovery. This is like Celebrate Recovery in a nutshell here. Number one, look up to God. The first thing Nebuchadnezzar did was he looked up to God. Daniel 4:34 says, after this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned. Guys, this chapter, this whole chapter 4 from 1 to 30-something is his testimony. His testimony. It says he lifted his eyes to heaven. And I want to ask you today, I don't know where you're at, but do you need to look up to heaven? Do you need to lift your eyes? Now, some of you guys are in a heap of trouble right now, and this is the first step you need to take. Some of you guys got in a mess. Your life's going the wrong way. You're looking to everything else. You're looking to everybody else to solve it. You're looking to other people. You're even looking to the government, and you're even looking to yourself. You expect your husband, you expect your wife, you expect your boyfriend, you expect your girlfriend to solve it, whatever. You're in a mess. You're in a mess, and you need to look up to God. You need to look up to Him. You need to get your eyes on heaven and on God, not stuff and not anything or everybody else. Let me throw a by the way in there. By the way, sometimes God's got to lay you flat on your back for you to look up to God. And my prayer as your pastor, because I love you, is that you don't wind up flat on your back before you look up. I don't want you to go through all that. Amen? Look up to God. Number two, wake up to God's greatness and start worshiping. Wake up to His greatness and start worshiping. Don't worship your own greatness. Worship just means focus on God. And when you focus on God's greatness, that's worship. That's worship. So you get your focus off yourself. You get your focus off your problems. You get your focus off your humiliation. And you put your focus back on God. Amen? That's where it belongs. How do I do this? How do I start worshiping again? You know, I tell you, week after week after week, you need to develop some habits. You need to develop a habit of a quiet time in the morning. You need to develop a time. I say morning because that's when I like it. And I think when I like it, everybody ought to like it. But I believe you ought to do it in the morning because, you know, why go face the problems and then get ready to fight? Amen? Get ready to fight before you face the problems, before Junior wakes up, all right? Develop a quiet time and do it with regularity. Be consistent every day. Every day. Not every once in a while. Every day. And get your hind end in a small group. Get in a small group. Start a small group. Go back to the small group that... Don't go back to the one that kicked you out. Go back to the one you stopped going to. I belong to a numerous small group. Man, Tuesday night, the Fours, and then the Tuesday night group up on Eagle Mountain. I belong to one every morning at CrossFit. I call that my small group. I belong to numerous of my elders meeting. I'm telling you guys, you need to be consistent. You need to be regular. Move on. That's where my mind's at. Get behind me, Satan. They know what regular means. Because you see, in good times, when things are going good, you kind of start backing off. What I mean by that is, well, I don't need to go to church this week. If things going good, I'm going to sleep in today. I'm not going to go on there Tuesday night. I'll just go on once a month. You know, now we got a little money. I'm going to buy me a boat. I'm going to buy me a cabin. Or I'm going to get me a condo in Rockmart. You know, and I'm going to spend 3 weeks a month there. And then we'll go to church once a month. Really? Really? That's your plan? Guys, is there anything more important in your life than worshiping God and hearing from Him on a regular basis? There's nothing more important. If you know something that will help your life more than going and worshiping God, stand up and tell me right now, and I'll go with you. There is nothing more important, than going and worshiping God and getting in touch with Him. Because I'm sitting there thinking, man, what if this was the week that God wanted to turn the direction of my life? What if this was the week that He wanted to build this career of my life? And I miss it because I just didn't want to go. And some of you guys just need to make a recommitment that you'll be at worship every chance you get. Not once a month. Every chance you get. Guys, it's more important to hear from God than TV. Daniel 4:34 says, my sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the One who lives forever. Guys, this is the second step to recovery. I don't know what bad things that you're going through at all. Write this down right here and fill in these two blanks. We get better when we replace pride with praise. We get better when we replace pride with praise. In any area of our lives, we need to do this. Every time things are going great in your life, this is as much a test as even in the bad times. Even in the bad times. And God is saying, hey, I'm watching old Jim. Is it good times? Is he going to be praiseful, or is he going to be prideful? Is he going to say, look how cool I am, or is he going to say, look how cool God is? It's a test. In the good times, it's a test too. Now, about 1,000 years before Nebuchadnezzar was even born, I guess, Moses said the same thing to the Jews. It's actually become one of my favorite passages this week. And he said the same thing to them. The Jews he was leading them out of slavery. They'd been enslaved for 400 years. God had been promising to save them, and then they spent 40 years of walking out of the desert, and God tested them a whole bunch of times in the desert in the bad times. But Moses is more afraid of the success of the promised land than he was when they was enslaved, and he was afraid they'd stop depending on God, and he gave them this warning before they go into the promised land. Let's read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:20. That starts at the bottom. I didn't read that part. 8 o'clock service. Yes, I did. Remember how God led you through the wilderness these past 40 years. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. You know, He may be letting you go hungry, hungry right now, hungry for a relationship or some kind of need or a job or something right now to humble you. And He tested you with hardships many times to test your character and to see if you will obey whatever He commands you to do. Anybody, we can all give a testimony to that, can't we? Testing our character. Now here's the warning. Now God is bringing you into a good land, a land with plenty of water, with bountiful crops, orchards full of fruit, abundant copper and iron in the ground, and you will lack nothing. So when you're full and satisfied and prospering, praise the Lord with gratitude for all He has given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord, and that you continue to always obey every command of God. Otherwise, when you have built your fine houses and your gold and silver have multiplied, your heart will become proud, and you will forget that it was God who saved and delivered you out of slavery and gave all this to you. And when you become successful, do not think, I did all this by my own strength and I became rich by my own power. Instead, remember that it is God, your Lord, who gives you the ability and the strength to produce wealth. I warn you, if you ever forget God and begin turning things into idols that you worship, God will destroy it all. And your nation, just as He has destroyed other nations before you who forgot God. Boy, that's strong. That is strong. test our character to see if we obey his commands. He tests us with success. I'm going to tell you what the first line of defense against falling into this ego and this arrogance is develop an attitude of gratitude. That's the first line of defense, because the more grateful you are, the more humble you are. And the more prideful you are, the less grateful you are. So develop this attitude of gratitude. You can praise. You got a choice, the way I see it. You can praise God and be proud of yourself, proud of your accomplishments, or you can praise God. It's your choice. It's easy to forget God when things are going good. But he warns them. He says, have you forgotten God? That it was God that brought you all this, that gave you all this, this gold and silver and these fine houses. And I like the part where he says, God gave you the ability and the strength to produce wealth. He says, if you don't, if you keep forgetting, if you keep turning these things into idols, have you turned your career into an idol? Have you turned your boat into an idol? Our career, our car into an idol? Be careful. This passage right there is what I believe we need in America. I believe we need it in our nation, because we're a nation right now that a large part of it has forgotten God. Our nation was founded by folks seeking God, seeking to freely worship him. They were called pilgrims. You know, for hundreds of years, the Bible was taught in our schools. For about the last 75, though, they took it out. We've forgotten God. We've forgotten God. I don't care what the argument is. We have forgotten. So I guess the underlying tone here, maybe it is the big tone, is success is dangerous. Be careful. We've become successful. Success is dangerous. Be careful. See, because your greatest test in life might not be when you lose your job, but when you get a new job and get involved in it and you forget God. Your greatest test in life might not be when you get into debt. It might be when you get a promotion and get a raise and you go buy stuff that takes you away from worship. And your focus begins on it, like recreation. It keeps you from thinking about God. So here's what you do. Because don't think I'm against success. You welcome success. When God blesses your life, you welcome it. You think about it. I mean, you celebrate it. You celebrate it. But you thank God for the successes. And then you get on your knees and you humble yourself to God, and you realize that you wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for him. Him. You and me, we didn't choose where we were born. What if you were in India? We didn't choose where we were born. We didn't choose our gifts. We didn't choose our talents. We didn't choose the freedom to excel. It all comes from God. Every last bit of it. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar was going through these, and I'll get off that. I'm going through these steps of recovery. He learns four truths about God. Real quick, four truths about God that'll stabilize your life, whether it's success or suffering. Very first thing is this. God's kingdom will outlast everything I do. What I'm saying there is, if you want to make a lasting impact, you know, in this world, you better bet on the kingdom of God. You better bet on the kingdom of God. Your career's not going to last you, but the company that you built not going to last you, but the kingdom of God will last forever. Daniel 4:34 says, all the people of earth are nothing compared to him. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all that other stuff will come. All that other stuff will come. And I'm telling you guys, God didn't put you here just for you. He didn't put you here just for your career. He didn't put you here just to live and die. Next thing is, God's approval matters more than all the others. God's approval matters more than all the others. I mean, everybody else may disapprove of you, but it don't matter. You only need one, and that's God's. one person's approval. You don't need other people's approval to be happy. Amen? You just need God's. Daniel 4:35 says, he has the power to do whatever he pleases among the angels of heaven and with those who live on earth. No one can stop him or challenge him or even question what he does. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. He's able to humble. Nebuchadnezzar's exhibit A on that. He humbled Nebuchadnezzar. Look at the next verse. When God restored my sanity, this is his testimony, guys. He also gave me back my honor and kingdom. All my leaders returned to me, and my kingdom became greater than ever. And so now I praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is always right and true and fair. Guys, that's what happened. It's true. So there's good news here. If you've had a big fall, it ain't over until you're dead. It ain't over. What that verse means is this. God never makes any mistakes. God never makes any mistakes. Now, we do, but he don't. We don't understand why everything is happening around us, but he does. And I got news for you, folks, because basically you get on my nerves. Some of you guys that try to overthink things, and I'm kin to a lot of folks like that. I'm not going to say how I'm kin to them. But you folks that try to overthink things, you ain't got to understand everything. You're just going to be frustrated. Trying to understand God's ways sometimes like an ant trying to figure out the internet. There's just some things we're not going to understand, and we don't have to understand him, so you just got to trust. Trust. Well, then the third thing the king did was this. He spoke up. We're finishing up. We spoke up. What I mean by speaking up is tell others how God has saved you and changed you. Tell others. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was humiliated. The most powerful man on the planet, and he was drooling. He was an animal. He was embarrassed. He fell. He had everything. But now, chapter 4 is his testimony. He wants to tell everyone how God has restored him. So we got to tell everyone. Daniel 4:1-2. Go back at the front of the chapter because that tells us what this is that you've just read. King Nebuchadnezzar sent a letter to the people of every tribe and nation and language throughout the world. May you prosper. May you prosper. I want to tell you all about the wonderful miracles that God has done for me. He says, I want to tell you my story. Every one of you have a story. I'm telling you guys, I can't wait. We're going to meet Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. We're going to meet him. And this is his story. So I want to ask you, guys, you, me, has God done anything for you? Has God saved anything for you? Has he shown his grace to you in any way? Have you been changed by God in any way? Then I want to ask you, who you telling? If you're not telling anybody, why not? Are you embarrassed? Well, guess what? That's pride. That's pride. You need to tell the whole world how God has changed you. Let me give you an example. Who have you invited to church lately? To let them see this side of you. Of how God has changed you. Of why you're different. Who have you told about your change lately? Miss Martha Johnson, she passed away last year, 2 years ago. So she was in her 90s, I guess. Her caretaker told me that. She told her, said, that Jim Pinker, she said, he limped into this town 30-something years ago and took over. I did. I don't know about took over. But God has given me an enormous amount of influence. And he's wealthy. that I came into this town, I did, Lynn. Miss Martha knew it. I drove a $400. My mother had told me to leave Rock March, and I'd wore my welcome out. I was 26 years old, without a pot to pee in nor a window to throw it out of. I was driving a $400 car, and I owed $400 on it. Financed a bed. Mama gave me an orange and Naugahyde love seat. More ways than just money. But old boy invited me to church. And I was flat on my back. I looked up to God. Then I woke up. And now I'm telling you, He restored me. He saved me. He changed me. No longer what I was. I was better than that. I was a child of the King. But it wasn't for me. I couldn't have done it. God saved me, and He's made me a different man. You all have that same story too, in a lot of ways. Similar stories. For God has changed you. No need to be embarrassed about it. I'm tickled at what God did for me. Just plumb tickled. Who would have thought? Oh boy, that all he had was a negative $400 Mustang. Would be teaching hundreds of people on Sunday morning. Only God could do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. And I love you because I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful because I was headed the wrong way. And I looked up and you were waiting on me to look up. I just know you were. And you planted this gift of leadership and speaking in me. I don't like it, but it seems like you test me every day. Lord, I told you I didn't like people, but you made me a pastor. And now I love them. Lord, there's someone here today that needs to look up, and I pray that they will, that pride won't hold them in the chair. And there's some folks here today that need to wake up and realize it's because of you that they're successful. It's because of you that things are going good. And they haven't been giving you the glory and the credit. You know, there's some folks here today that need to tell some folks. Invite